and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode 127, and we are doing an audio-only edition because, frankly, it's been a while since we've done this, and I don't really remember how. Jerry, how do we podcast? How do we do this?
I think it involves red slippers and clicking your heels.
last time we did this, I was in Europe. No, I wanted to bang one out before things get crazy again this week. So it's Tuesday afternoon right now, which is unusual for us. Normally we podcast live on Thursday nights with video and stuff. We got Alex Doby in England, by the way. Say hi,
hello,
Alex.
Hello.
So we kind of got the gang back together. No, I wanted to do a podcast before the Samsung Galaxy S4 stuff on Thursday night this week, which obviously means we won't be doing a live podcast then. So I'm headed up to New York tomorrow on Wednesday. And just wanted to kind of catch up and see what's been going on, because especially I was just deathly ill after Mobile World Congress, and that wasn't fun. Did I miss anything? I took like 3 days off because I couldn't move.
I can't think of a whole lot. We had some rumors, which
I'm tired of rumors.
Which we'll get to in a bit. But yeah, we have rumors in the road to every major device, and
right.
I don't feel like they've been particularly informative this time around.
I'm so sick of rumors at this point. You want to get the HTC One stuff out of the way, because we finally have devices.
Yeah, let's do it.
In fact, Alex and I each have two.
I had to. Two both arrived today.
Oh, did you send one back already?
Yeah, one's got back already. So yeah. I'm left with the proper one, the actual full retail unit, which is built a little bit better than the prototypes we were using before. It's the same quality of device that you get if you went into a store.
Right.
That's what we're both using now to review this thing.
I keep thinking there are these stories coming out this afternoon that it's been delayed in Europe, and they're talking like maybe a 2 week delay, maybe. Which is hardly
maybe, except it's one carrier is already selling it in Europe,
right?
And so, there was no date to begin with, so
exactly,
yeah,
it's not that big deal. But I keep thinking, what delay? I have two, which is awful. I shouldn't even say that out loud.
Yeah, but between us, we've had what, four in the past few days, so
in you know, pre-production stuff.
Yeah.
It's. Yeah, I said this from the outset, from the time they announced it and we first played with it. There's a lot to wrap your mind around here, and it's taken me a little while. I don't mind saying. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth going on, especially among bloggers, about the reviews that are coming out after 48 hours with pre-production hardware and software. And honestly, I don't care anymore. We're going to do it the way we do it. And that is, Alex is going to do it, because I'm traveling 3 days this week.
With no video, you all can't tell how much I'm smiling.
Yeah. It was like, Phil, when's your review coming? I'm like, I don't know, I'm not doing it.
Never.
That was
when your review is coming.
Inside baseball, that was actually always our plan, because I got the phone before Alex did. I got it on Saturday. But knowing I was going to be gone 3 days this week, we said, all right, I'm going to work on the Sense stuff and figure out Sense 5. And Zoe's and highlights and blink feed and all that stuff. And then we'll let Alex review the device. And frankly, I think Alex reviews devices better than I do anyway.
Better than anybody, let's be honest.
Exactly. So that's how we're doing it. So it's all coming. Thanks for your patience. If you haven't been playing in the forums, there's so much good questions and everything going on in the forums. So I'm ducking in there when I can. It's good to be back. We kind of disappeared from the HTC One train while we were at Mobile World Congress. So it's good to be back on it. So, I mean, Alex, give me your, 60-second, here's what I think about the phone, then I'll give you mine.
Sure. I mean, it has to be one of the nicest and best-built phones I've ever used. We knew this at the time, but even the pre-production one that I had for a few hours today is an incredibly well-built piece of electronics. It's fantastic build quality. You've got to admire the sort of craftsmanship that's gone to something like this. The specs to it is incredibly fast.
It's ridiculously
all of that
fast.
Is down to hardware. It is, I mean, it's, I wouldn't say an order of magnitude faster than the Nexus 4, but it is noticeably faster than the Nexus 4. And that is not a slow phone. So whether it's down to either RAM or internal storage, or just the fact that it's a Snapdragon 600 powering this thing, it's the fastest Android phone I've used. I don't know about you, compared to the Optimus G Pro, Phil, how does that compare?
Yeah, no, I think that's right up there too. And greatly different software, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But just in the way it, you know, moves and feels. I mean, anything with Snapdragon 600, I think you're going to notice and you're going to be impressed. I need to send that to Jerry to play with that.
I don't even have one, but I'm going to jump in. the Snapdragon 600 is on paper like nothing we've ever seen before. Right. So I'm not surprised when you say it's so fast.
Well, and God, I forget who I was talking to about it. Oh, yeah, I was on that Hangout last night. I was actually using the HTC One X after it got that Jelly Bean update finally over the weekend. And so I actually used it for a couple of days, and it's been a long time since I used it. It's just, it's so, oh. I mean, compared to this, it's tough. It's really tough.
You just made a lot of friends.
It's like, that's the same company? Wow, okay. I mean, it's just, that shows you the difference a year makes.
Are you talking software or hardware there? Because, I mean, you've got, that's the S4-powered One X, which we never got in Europe.
Right. I don't know. I'm probably talking both. I think that's kind of one and the same at that point. And the software was always a little wonky anyway. But, man, I mean, that is an order of magnitude faster. So, yeah, I mean, anything that comes out in 2013, like, if it's laggy, if it's a Snapdragon 600 and it's still laggy, there's something wrong.
Yeah, definitely. And this kind of brings me back to the other device that I was reviewing this week. The Xperia Z, which is very, very fast and very nice, but you'll still get occasional, your classic Android lag, where very occasionally in the launcher you just get a few milliseconds of lag and it'll just kind of take you out of the experience a bit. Absolutely nothing like that on the HTC One.
I almost thought in looking at this final unit, which has updated software than the one that I was using over the weekend, I thought I saw a little bit of like graphical lag. Not just lag, but like some of the animations weren't quite as smooth as hard to describe, not quite hesitation, but like I could see the animation, whereas before, and I don't think it's there now on this final version.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you saying between the two you're noticing a little bit of difference on the one you got today?
Either that or I'm just used to it and I'm not sure which, which could be the case, right?
Sure.
One of those things, I want a fresh pair of eyes on it, so when people start actually getting these phones, we'll see if they complain about that, maybe.
Sure. The other thing I want to talk about is the design of Sense 5, because I think this has got a bit of a... I don't think it's been treated particularly fairly in the past. I mean, people always complain about Sense if Sense in the past has been kind of bloated. There wasn't really much of an overarching design beyond a need to put animations in there and make it big and bright and friendly. This actually comes off as being not just kind of more subdued and less in your face, but it has more of an overall design language to it the way that stock Android does.
I think, yeah, I would agree with that. And again, I think from the outset we said that again, there's a lot of stuff you're going to have to wrap your mind around, right? We've already done our big Blink Feed post, and I'm still figuring out Blink Feed. Like, I mean, I don't hate it. I don't think it needs to die in a fire. But I'm not using it that much. And a lot of that, I think, is I'm not the right person for it. If you're the sort of person who uses feeds to get information, and that's the way you absorb things, and God, this almost goes back to like my newspaper days when I would, I was on this green terminal, and you would have these lines of, they're called slug lines, right? And just lines of stories. You know, here are the stories I have to, I have to go through this list and see what I need to read, that I need to read what I need to read. And it's very much like reading an RSS reader now. So if you go into Blink Feed with that sort of mentality, I think you're going to be using it wrong, because I always feel like I'm missing something. And I'm kind of the same way with Flipboard and Pulse and things like that too, right? That's just not
how I consume. The idea is almost that you are missing stuff. It's not to be comprehensive. It's meant to be
exactly
little things that you can dip into and pick out stories and information, social updates.
Snacking is the talking point.
You've just deflated my desire for Blink Feed.
That doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't mean the premise is bad. That means I'm not right for it. It's not Blink Feed. It's me. It's not going to be for everybody. But I keep thinking of my mom, who, has her epic 4G, whatever the one was, with the keyboard on Sprint. And, she has, like, two icons on the home screen that she accidentally put there once and doesn't know how to get rid of. And, you know, same thing for my dad. I picked up my dad's Galaxy S3 the other day to show him something, and he hasn't done a damn thing to that home screen. So that's what this is for, right?
I think I've got a good question here from a dummy who hasn't used it. I've got two Gmail accounts, mm-hmm. and in one Gmail account, I do all my RSS for stuff I need to know, Android right. stuff, industry stuff. My other Gmail account is... I mean, it's like vice.com and just crazy stuff. What about, I mean, my Funtime RSS sounds like it would fit in well with Blinkfeed or Flipboard if I would get off my lazy butt and try it.
Right.
Am I getting in the right direction here?
Yeah, I mean, you can add whatever you want. Well, sorry, let me rephrase that. You can add whatever they have for you. You can't add your own feeds right now. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I get what they're doing. But it's not like a full-featured feed reader where you plug in an RSS feed and it will show up on here for you. Now, that's right. not to say there aren't a lot of options.
I think, frankly, it's not meant for people who want to be messing around with RSS feeds and URLs and plugging exactly. them in and that, doing that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Well, cool. Now I want to see it again.
Well, good.
In fact, I'm trying to get our feeds added to it. That should be. They should be there soon. I just got to figure out where they're going to be. It's important stuff.
And the category named Awesome as Hell.
Hopefully they'll be in the featured one. We'll see. I don't know. If they're not, I'm going to be sad. Yeah, so there's Blinkfeed. The other big stuff, of course, is I want to talk about Boom Sound. And that is, Boom Sound isn't just one thing. It's the combination of the hardware and the speakers and Beats Audio and all those little tweaks. But holy crap. This phone yeah. is loud. It's I got a phone call. My wife called me and scared the crap out of me. It's so loud.
Saying before, Phil, it's almost like it's too loud for notifications. Like
it is.
On the lowest possible setting for it not to just scare the crap out of you.
I'm waiting to be on an airplane tomorrow and just scare the crap out of someone with it.
Oh, yeah. I'll be just IMing you nonstop to make that thing beep.
It is so loud. It's really
scary. It's good. The other side of that is it works really well for movies or that kind of stuff.
Right.
For a smartphone, it's really high quality. Not just bassy, but you hear a lot of the detail.
But it's surprisingly bassy for what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like it's finally going to be a phone that I can put in my pocket and hear the notifications when I'm out.
You're not going to need to have the vibration on because it's going to rattle your pants.
Cool.
It's that loud. If you play Ingress at all, there's this background noise in Ingress that's just like a low kind of industrial roar, mm-hmm. right? And I never heard it until I tried playing with... I mean, I'd heard it before, but I tried playing with headphones once. I think I was out for a walk. I was like, holy crap, that sounds cool. But you actually hear that with this. You know, and having the speakers actually face you makes a huge difference, too. Which leads to other industrial design issues, like the buttons.
Y'all are getting me all excited for this one.
Look, I mean, there's a lot to take in. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to get used to. The buttons.
There's a lot that's different.
Yeah.
Actually, arguably less, or well, more far removed from stock Android than something like TouchWiz, even.
Yeah, I think so.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
How are you doing with the buttons, Alex? Are you trying to hit that HTC logo?
I did that exactly once this morning. I haven't had any trouble with it since.
I got over that easier than I thought I would. And again, you have to get used to idiosyncrasies on any phone. And this one's no different. I mean, I had to change the way I hold a phone when we got the Galaxy Nexus. Had to change it again when I got the Nexus 4, the Galaxy S3, and definitely when I used the DNA. You have to, and this feels more like the DNA than anything else because it's the same design. I mean, you get used to the buttons. I find myself having to bring my second hand over to hit the home button, especially because I hold the phone with my left hand, even though I'm right-handed. It takes getting used to, but it's not insurmountable, right?
No, and it's not the big deal that I think we thought it might be and that a lot of people made it out to be when it was first announced.
It's different, and I get that people don't like it. I'm not crazy about the idea either. But if that's going to keep you from using a phone, I think you're kind of an idiot.
Especially this phone. And there's an awful lot to like about this phone besides that, even if it's, you know, even if it gets rid of your precious multitasking button. And I like my multitasking button.
Mm-hmm. Well, and double tapping the home button is not exactly tough.
Nope.
To do that. I mean, All right, double tap it. There it is. Speaking of which, I got to set Google Now back up on this one. yeah, and that's how you get to Google Now. You hold down the home button, multitasking, you double tap it. It's pretty easy, I think. I kind of wish they'd done something different to the back button. I don't know why.
Hey, yeah,
because the back button's still a mess. But
one thing we still have is the on-screen control for menu, and that kind of bugs me. I don't necessarily blame HTC entirely for that anymore, because devs have had over a year to get used to this now.
Right.
But there are still some apps, including the bundled official Twitter app, which is
and the Facebook
what loads
app
up when you get Twitter. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, those are the apps that load up when you click on those things in Blinkfeed. And there's this great big ugly block down the bottom of the screen that uses up space.
And it still looks horrible. It takes what otherwise is a very nice phone and puts this big just blotch on it on any number of apps, and that sucks. And I wish there were more we could do about that. I wish there was more HTC or whomever could do about it.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Well, not my fault.
It's not HTC's fault either.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about
it
before.
It's horrible.
I tell you, my biggest thing, and I'm looking at the home screen right now, what bugs me more than anybody, and it's not just HTC that does this, it's everybody. They took the Google search bar, and, you know, in stock Android, it's just there, right? But everybody else has made it a widget you can get rid of, and that takes up a 4x1 spot, right? That takes up 4 spots on that home screen. And even worse is it screws up the spacing for everything else. I hate that.
And there's no search button, so if you want quick access to search, you got to have it.
Right, you got to leave it there. So, I mean, I've left it there. But, oh, man, I keep talking about doing a post on this. But just looking at the spacing and how I have my home screen set up on the Nexus 4, and I have it set up the same way on the HTC One, but the spacing is so crappy on anything not Nexus at this point, you know, on anything not stock. And it's not perfect there either. I think there are things they need to fix. You know what else I was thinking about is folders. And I found the old post I did, like, I think back from Sense 4. And I think I actually said that I thought HTC does folders better. I've changed my mind. In fact, I was wrong about that. And here's why. Make a folder in Sense with only 2 things in it, or with 3 things in it. You have this big black hole. Yeah. And HTC, where they, you know, stacked them like an accordion stack or whatever. Whatever you call it, you know, that looks better. So if you only have 2 things in there, there's not this gaping black hole looking at you. And, like, that's small design stuff. What? And now that I look at it, it's like, why the hell do they do that? I'm sorry it took me a year to for that to bug me so much. I don't know. Camera?
I've used the camera a bit today. I haven't yet used the camera on this this production model, although this is running the same software that I was taking pictures of before, so
right.
Who knows what's going on there. I mean, I don't think I've been using the camera for anywhere near long enough to make any kind of judgment of it, but...
You weren't that... Look, I'll say it for you.
I wasn't 100% behind it. I think taking a few daylight shots today, there's a little bit of wonkiness going on. Especially if you look at close-up detail. Now, it takes images at 4 megapixels, fair enough. The idea is the pixels are bigger, so you get more light, and therefore you get less noise and less sort of aberrations up close. So if you're viewing it at full resolution, it's going to look better. Based on the images I've taken, that's not the case in all of them by a long way.
I think...
And that's me using it just for a few hours today.
Yeah, I mean...
Probably half an hour today taking pictures.
I've been perfectly capable of taking crappy pictures with any phone, right?
And this is me coming from the Xperia Z, which has a pretty good camera.
I think it's going to be more than capable. I'm not sure it's going to live up to the hype, but then again, what does? You know?
I use the 1X as my... camera phone, and if you just pull it out of your pocket and push the button, the pictures aren't that good, but once you learn to play with it a little bit, it takes really good pictures. So I'll bet this is the same way. Unfortunately, you know, the defaults, grab it, push the button and take a picture, aren't going to show just how good it can be.
And that's what I think Sony's better at.
Yeah.
And see, that's what I need.
Software lay behind it.
Yeah, that's what I need, because I'm not, you know, I'm not fussing with settings. I'm trying to take a quick picture of my kid. The Zoe stuff is interesting. It's kind of fun. So Zoes are, and we're going to, you know, we still got a big piece coming on this. I've been digesting it because, frankly, it took a little while. Zoes are, there's this, you know, almost a secondary shutter button. Call it a pre-shutter button. It's just another button that's sitting on the camera app, and you push it, and now you're going to take a Zoe, right? And a Zoe is a 3-second video clip, for all intents and purposes. And then you can share those by themselves through what's called Zoe Share, which just uploads it to HTC's servers, and then you get a public link that works for 180 days.
And it's pretty slick. You know, you showed me a couple. I kind of like that.
Yeah. I'm not crazy that you only have 180 days to keep this thing around, right. Blah, blah, blah. Now, you still have them on your phone, so you can share them again later. But this is version one, right? And HTC will readily admit that, yes, we're working on things to, you know, figure all that out and make it better. And then with Zoe's, the phone will actually take a look at what you shot, when you shot it, where you shot it, and through some sort of black magic, create these highlights. And they're little highlight movies. So they take the Zoe's, they take still shots, and it says, all right, here's everything we think that's kind of grouped together. And I ran out at lunchtime and just shot some real quick. And by the time I got back, it had made a highlight video. It's doing this unbeknownst to me in the background, right? I didn't ask it to. It's just going to do it. So yeah, people are going to freak out that it's using battery or whatever. I'm not overly worried about that. And then so you have a highlight, and the highlight stitches it all together. It puts background music on it. It applies filters, so you have, like, this theme. And they have, it's like 6 or 7 different ones that you can choose from. And then from there, you can share them and save them and do whatever. And those are kind of cool. I like that.
I hope that's open through their HTC One API.
Through
developers
the SDK?
Can make new themes.
I don't remember. That's a good question. I'll have to ask.
Because I have a really good 1970s question. Porn theme.
Oh, see.
With cool music.
Some of them are kind of close, except filters. For the music. Yeah. That's a really good idea. I mean, music would be easy. I don't know about the filters. So, yeah, I mean, those are cool. And I was killing myself trying to make a new one yesterday on the first phone I had. And then I ran out today and got it to work right out of the box. So I can't wait to try it in New York this week. How funny is it we're going to be covering the Galaxy S4 event with brand new HTC stuff, by the way? That's cool. We'll cover it all in Zoe's and highlights. That'll make Samsung really happy.
Oh, you should totally do that.
There's a lot of really good stuff here. Is it perfect? No. I mean, no phone's perfect, right? Oh, battery life. Even on the pre-release version, I haven't had anything stand out at me. And this is me, you know, sitting at home in my, quote, office, you know, on Wi-Fi all day like I normally am. But even then with, you know, messing around and testing and all that, like, it's not draining drastically. Now, I'm using, you know, the European version. I still have the European version. So no LTE, and that's going to make a big difference.
Well, you say that I've been hopping on and off LTE today, and
right.
I haven't noticed any significant battery drain on it. I mean, this thing does have LTE, just not US LTE bands.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, if I can get to New York, and, you know, it's usually like a 7-hour trip to get me up there, and Wi-Fi in airports can be wonky, and network signals through airplanes while you're waiting to take off can absolutely be wonky. So generally, when I get to New York, if I have 50% battery left, it's been a pretty good trip, so we'll see. I have a feeling there's not going to be anything huge that stands out here. And again, this is what I worry about, those really quick reviews, because you're pushing a phone in ways that you wouldn't normally do it. So, I mean, that's why I want to have us take a few days and actually use these things not like we normally would, and then get a better feel for how battery life is.
Yep.
I think it'll be all right. I'm really not that worried about it.
Yeah, I think the biggest drains are going to be the classic things like, I'm sure the camera is going to be use a fair amount of juice. The screen, which is a very, very nice screen, really good colors, really high res. I'm sure that's going to use a fair amount of power too. But HTC will have thought of this. It's not like, it's like this thing has a small battery that's 2300 milliamp hours, which should be more than enough.
Yeah. You know, it could power itself with boom sound. Boom Sound. Fun name. All right, so Samsung, anything we're expecting? I mean, I'm kind of... Yeah, I mean, I'm going into it with a very open mind. I don't think it's going to be drastically different. I'm hoping for a new UI. I really hate TouchWiz. how come people hate it when I don't hate things, but I hate TouchWiz, and everyone's like, all right, whatever.
I don't know. We've had two separate leaks from what appear to be two very different places that seem to suggest that TouchWiz isn't changing a whole lot. So we'll see.
I'm thinking a little bit bigger display, probably not a grossly bigger footprint. Probably.
Yeah, and the thing that leaked out of China seemed to be, you know, if you compare the bezels to the S3, there's a lot less going on horizontally. Much smaller gap between the edge of the phone and the edge of the display. So I think you're probably right there.
I actually wish Samsung would have been able to squeeze everything in the same case. And, you know, I know people would say, oh, well, then it's just a Galaxy S3S and all this other crazy nonsense. But, man, if you've bought all these cradles and everything else for your Galaxy S3, and Phil, don't beat me for this, wouldn't you like to be able to use the same stuff for your new phone? People with iPhones have been able to do that and love it.
Oh, absolutely. God, I know our accessories guys are like, well, it's going to be different. You should see it when there's like seven versions of the same phone. Yeah, no, I mean, having one design is going to give you better accessories, period.
Right.
Because they're cheaper and easier to make.
And I think Samsung realized the value in
right.
plenty of good accessories.
Yeah. I would kill for some. And HTC is making some for the HTC One. But, you know, again, actually, you can get them in the UK already.
Yeah, they're selling the double dip case and some other stuff.
Yeah. Aren't they? All right, go get some.
Yep, Alex.
Find somewhere that sells them.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, S4 is going to be a phone, and they're going to market the crap out of it. I'm almost more excited to see that, to see the spectacle, than I am the phone. I'm probably gonna be like, all right, it's a phone.
The presentation itself is going to be pretty crazy.
Actually, that damn kid's going to piss me off.
Yeah, he is, but...
That little kid that they've been using.
I think the rest of it, just to last year's thing in London was pretty surreal. This, I think, is going to take it to a whole new level with the place they've got in Times Square.
Yeah.
Be like a circus.
It really is. So we're actually going to have Rene Ritchie and somebody else helping him. So they're going to be outside in Times Square. So if you're listening to this on a Tuesday night or Wednesday, or I guess any time before Thursday night's event, find them. They'll have AC shirts on, I think, in Times Square. So we'll be covering it from inside as well as outside, and it's the first time we've done that. That should be really interesting. And I'll probably wander down there, you know, tomorrow night, and hopefully we'll get some time on Thursday throughout the day to do it as well. So things are going to be pretty busy, pretty crazy. I'm looking forward to it. God, it's going to be insane. Going to be nuts.
Well, it's always fun, even from the view at home, when Samsung just goes over the top.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm looking forward to. The spectacle and all the pomp and ceremony Samsung's going to bring out, because this is in the US. It's the biggest event they've had for any phone ever. So what are they going to bring out?
What do you believe about this 3D camera crap?
I don't know.
I don't even know what that means.
Sony's had that for about 18 months. It was in the Xperia Arc S. That's not new technology. Other phones have had that. I don't think it'll have a 3D screen. I think those days are thankfully long behind us.
Yes.
3D camera isn't big news. I think that S Orb or whatever the hell it's called, that'll probably be in that Photosphere clone thing. Yeah, it'll have some new camera stuff. I think with... Like with any new Samsung phone, it's not necessarily going to be about what it looks like. They did their big design refresh last year.
Right.
They've just released they've just unveiled the Note 8 and the Galaxy Grand and all these other devices that look just like it. They're not going to throw that design language under a bus just yet.
What about this?
So it's going to be about...
What about the hover touch stuff? Where like, you won't even have to touch your finger to it.
Well, that's another thing Sony had last year with the Xperia Solo. It can be done. It's all about how they tie that into TouchWiz, and they've had parts of that in TouchWiz for the Note 2, where you could hover the pen over and it was you get contextual stuff like you were hovering a mouse over on a computer. How useful that would be on a smartphone, not sure, because if you're hovering your finger over and you consciously hovering your finger over, why not just touch the screen? I don't know. There's going to have to be something there besides, oh, isn't it cool? The phone can detect where your finger is.
Same thing with iTrack, I think.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the way that I read things when that rumor came out, and I think I look at the top of the screen and I just use my thumb below it to scroll. Like, it's not like my eyes are tracking the entire length of the display, because actually that's when you factor in conversions or whatever. I mean, it's actually a pretty decent distance for your eye to move. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So, I don't know. We'll see.
I'm just curious about glasses.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to wear sunglasses inside a lot. So, I mean, I know I'm out of the question, but I want to see how it works with somebody that wears glasses.
I think I feel pretty safe saying you're probably not going to be missing much, Jerry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems like the world's biggest gimmick to me, but even if it's a gimmick, I want it to work well, you know, for people that do enjoy it.
What do you think about all these leaks that came out in, like, the past 48 hours? Here's what it looks like. I don't know. I just don't think so. With all the fake IDs and, I mean, look how long they kept it under wraps last year.
Even that one that Samsung put out themselves.
Right.
That's just a render. If you take the picture and monkey with it in Photoshop and invert it, there's no sensors in there. There's no speaker grill. There's no anything in the top of the phone but a Samsung logo.
Right.
I mean, unless the Galaxy S4 is going to not have a front-facing camera, that was just a render.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it looked like this thing that's appeared in the past couple of days. It's on the loose in China. That, to me, would be kind of a sensible step forward from the S3 design-wise, but who knows? Samsung, they had three designs of the S3, so who knows which one that actually is, if there are multiples, and I'm sure there are.
I mean, I agree. That's probably what it's going to look like, but we can never say never.
Yeah.
Until
We'll know until we know.
Right.
Anything else on that? I don't think so. If you haven't...
I think we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
It's going to be software features and call it gimmicks or maybe new ways of using things like the camera and the screen as opposed to the kind of stuff HTC is pushing.
I'm mostly concerned about the Android version. I do not want to see it released with 4.2.1 because all three of us here lived through the horrible bugs in 4.2.1 on the Nexus 4. So I'm afraid that it might ship with 4.1 on it, which is going to tick a lot of people off, but it shouldn't.
I don't care. I'm tired of those arguments because people don't know what the hell they're talking about. the only thing I'm missing, like, say, on the HTC One that I, you know, can do on any other phone is dash clock widget, and that's not the end of the world.
No, and HTC has stuff that kind of does the same sort of thing.
Right.
In the lock screen. Supposedly, based on various leaks, and, you know, leaks, we can't much rely on them, but supposedly, at the moment, it's 4.2.1, Jerry.
Yeah, that worries me.
But on the other hand, there's maybe that's what we'll see on Thursday, and maybe it'll be launched on 4.2.2. Like, and, I mean, we had the same thing with the S3 last year. Saw on 4.03, it launched on 404.
And maybe Samsung fixed whatever it was anyway.
Yeah,
that's possible. Yeah. My tangent real quick is because Samsung tablets, I'm pretty sure we're going to see a really nice 10-inch with the S Pen with some variant of Jelly Bean to replace the Note 10.1.
Right.
And I want multi-user account because I want to buy that tablet.
Really?
So, Samsung, yes. I think the S Pen makes an awesome appliance for a tablet. The Note 8 has just got my fingers tickling over the Visa card.
Well, then you can review it. No, the Note 8 was really interesting.
But I definitely want correctly implemented multi-user if I'm going to buy it. And with an SD card, that's going to be a real trick. And I know Samsung's capable, but I want to know that they're going to be able to do it.
Right.
Yeah, the Note 8 isn't on 4.2 yet, though, right. Is it? So,
no.
To see.
If you haven't yet, read the little mini review I did of the LG Optimus G Pro. God, I've given that thing like 5 different names. I keep calling it the Optimus Pro, the Optimus G... I don't know, it's nuts. Surprisingly nice. Surprisingly nice. 5.5-inch phones still aren't for me. I think they're just a little too big, but the difference in width between this and the Galaxy Note 2 makes all the difference in the world. 1080p display makes all the difference in the world. Now, these are all things that I think Samsung will have on the next Note that comes out, definitely.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, not a bad device, and supposedly it's coming here. You know, they've said it's coming to the U.S. I don't know if that means carrier-supported, which is kind of the only thing that matters, or if you'd just be able to buy it, but not a bad device.
Just put NTSC television support in it and let me have my antenna.
Anything else? Should we cut this short and get the hell out of here and go do some Samsung stuff this week?
Oh, well, we want to talk a little bit more about the Xperia Z.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting big smartphone. It's Sony. I think Sony's best so far. Where it stacks up on the grand scale next to the HTC One, the S4, we'll have to wait and see. But it looks very nice. The glass back kind of picks up fingerprints all over the place, so you find yourself constantly trying to wipe it clean. But it's nice. It's very attractive. It's got full water and dust resistance, which is pretty cool to see. The overall design is kind of, it's not particularly ergonomic is my biggest problem with it. So it's a 5-inch phone. It's very, very big. It doesn't have the tapered edge like the HTC One does. So it feels kind of chunkier. It is because it's very, very squared off. Like you were saying before, for the HTC One and the stuff, you have to adjust the way you hold phones with the new device. But yeah, it's decent. It's really hard to find anything to pick out and complain about besides the size and the chunkiness of it. Battery life's decent. It's fast enough, probably not as fast as the HTC One. The camera is a standout feature for me, I think. Low light performance, it has been very, very good, a lot better than a lot of other phones I've tested. And just trying to get a blurry shot, trying to get a clear shot without blurring it at night is so much easier on this than on things like the S3. So yeah, I've been reasonably impressed with it. It's a good phone. Recommending it. It's good. It's kind of a shame it's not coming to the US.
Well, that was where I was getting with this, because we're getting the, what is, God, I don't even remember the...
It is the ZL.
Yeah, the ZL for us Yanks over here. And Andrew Martonic, who has handled both, was there beside you, says that it's still a nice phone, and if I like big phones, I'd like it. Are we really missing out on anything by getting ZL?
You're missing out on water resistance. Trying to think what else. I mean, water resistance is the main one.
Right.
You miss out on the glass back. It's sort of soft touch plastic. But I mean, there's less trim around the bezel as well, and it's also a different shape. So I think I would almost recommend the design of that over the design of the Xperia Z, because the Z looks better, but I think the ZL is going to be so much easier to hold.
That's what I wanted to hear, which basically parrots what Andrew Martonic has been trying to tell me for two days.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I have this infatuation with Sony phones and have been wanting one forever.
And you can actually buy one now, and it does
yep.
AT&T LTE and T-Mobile LTE.
They just need that price to go down just a little bit.
I might have to get one to play with it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, it's not carrier supported. If you buy it, you have to buy it unlocked.
Right. To me, that's a plus. So,
yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, not for Sony wanting to sell many of these. It's a weird situation they're in now, where they've gone from such a small US presence to basically no US presence, and what's ostensibly their flagship now in the US is being sold just unlocked by itself with no carriers.
Well, that's not true. The Xperia T. The TL on AT&T got gingerbread today.
Jelly bean.
Jelly bean.
So, you know, it exists. It's there. Oh, hey! Sorry, I just picked up the HTC one again. You know what I actually used over the weekend? Out of sheer laziness? The TV remote.
TV remote's pretty good.
It actually works really well.
I mean, yeah, it does.
It takes like 1 minute to set up, and it's not unlike setting up any other universal remote. In fact, it was far easier than the Harmony remote I use. And it works. And
the software, is it actually the Peel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's Peel.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, those work great.
Yeah. So it
actually ties into Blinkfeed, too, doesn't it?
Yes.
TV Guide stuff. You set favorite shows and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll pop up, I think, in the calendar app as well.
I'm still waiting for somebody to do a damn post for me, but 2013 is kind of quickly turning into the year of the IR blaster. And I hate to, you know, that's a crappy way to peg things, but the Note 8 has it. This has it.
It's going to get really interesting if the S4 has it.
It would not surprise me at all to see it on the S4.
Actually, no, Jerry, the ZL has an IR blaster.
Right.
That's the other thing it has. The Z doesn't. So you're gaining that. Not sure what it has to use with it. I think there's a Sony remote app on the Z, but it only works, I guess, over Wi-Fi or whatever with other Sony peripherals. I would imagine the ZL would have something set up that's more of a universal remote if they're going with IR.
Yeah. Right?
Because the Sony tablets have IR as well.
Awesome. Another useless feature for Jerry to love.
All right, I'm calling it because I'm still kind of hoarse and coffee. Not like caffeinated coffee, but coffee. So I think that's it for this week. We will get back to our normal schedule next week, probably. I don't want to say I promise, but I promise we will. So that means voicemails. That means emails. We haven't forgotten about you. It's just been a little crazy, and it's still a little crazy this week. So we are knee deep in the HTC One. Alex and I are tag teaming that, and you know we'll have a review ready when it's ready. We'll have the Galaxy S4 on Thursday night from New York, so definitely stick around for that. We'll be live blogging it. It'll be streamed as well. So we'll just have all sorts of stuff from that.
You should totally write a review of the S4 Friday morning.
I should. Here's our review.
You're going to get some based on that. There are going to be some up on Friday morning, guarantee.
Yeah.
That's just the way these things work.
I saw it from across the room. Here's my review. No, it's, you know, we do things the way we do them, and I think we do it right. So, all right, so if you want to, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com, and I promise we'll get back to those soon. Get us all on Twitter, Phil Nickinson, GB Hill, you know, but Google Plus is much cooler, so just go look there.
I'm done with Twitter, man.
Are you? I'm real close.
After the way they've done their developers,
yeah.
If you go look at my Twitter account, there's a big gone fishing picture there.
I wish I could get rid of it. I mean, except for it's a big part of my job.
Yeah.
But I'm totally there with you. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. That is shopandroid.com. You can call them at 488. You can call them at 888-468-6158 or just shopandroid.com. The store site's kind of badass, by the way. You have no idea how many times I tell those developers, I'm like, I want that and that and that and that and that. Give it to me. Because those are really cool features.
Yep.
And you can leave us a voicemail at that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222. And that's it. So, we will see you from New York. We might even record something while we're up there. We'll see. I don't know. No promises, but if you hear from us, don't be surprised. So, Jerry, Alex, thank you. Everybody listening at home, thank you for putting up with a couple weeks of weirdness. We'll do better. We'll get better. Or not. But we'll have a lot of fun while we're doing it.
That's the important part.
Yes.
Sure is.
All right. We're out. See y'all from Samsung in New York.
Later on, everyone. See ya.